Good evening. Well, apparently Mikkel and I just always are coordinating together. Because last time he came up to do opening and then I came up to do the Sunday school, he basically used a great example that just tied really well in what I was going to speak about. And, I'm going to be talking about Joseph tonight. So, Joseph part two. And, yeah, let's turn on over to Genesis chapter 40. Isn't that kind of cool? The body works together, and you know, there's themes. There's always themes that everybody comes up and they preach on. I mean, this morning is the same thing. I had just got done reading about Peter and his denial and of Christ and how he wept bitterly, and then I walk in and then opening. Mike is talking about Peter and his denial. And then I'm thinking about the prodigal son. You know, I thought about throwing that in earlier in Sunday school, and I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. And then prodigal son gets brought up. I mean, there's just always constant themes. Maybe we're just all reading the same book. I don't know. But, I mean, it's just really cool, isn't it? And Joseph is a guy I'm going to talk about tonight. Not necessarily the patience aspect. That was kind of last week's message. Talking more about that aspect of enduring, to keep going, don't give up. This week I want to talk more about how much of an impact that he had being a great leader. There's a few points. He was a great leader. God was with him, and he forgave those whom betrayed him. Remember, Joseph is a really good example of somebody we want to be like, and he is a really good picture of the greatest superhero, as is, I mentioned, Jesus Christ. He's a great picture of a man that, even though he had so many things, I mean, years in prison, years in slavery, and he still was a shining example. He never gave up. He never lost. He was the type of guy that you knew he was going to come out and he was going to win. He was going to win. And maybe another thing could have happened to him. You know, he gets out of prison. He goes back into something. Who knows? I don't know how much worse it could get than being in prison. But you knew he was going to win. And why is that? God was with him. Christian, is there a message in that? Is God with you? Well, you can't lose. And I got a couple thoughts on that tonight. But let's open with a prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the capacity to speak, to think, and to reason through your scripture. Thank you so much that we have been given your word, that you preserved it for long, long ages. You protected it. You protect us. Thank you so much, God, that you just have so much in store for us that we can't even comprehend or imagine all the blessings that you're just wanting and you are pouring out on us right now. I pray that we can really think about things that are holy, that are pure, things that are edifying to the saints, ultimately. And I pray that this message tonight is encouraging to the saints and it is pleasing to you. And I just pray that we can have a great bond with one another that can last really for an eternity. We're with each other for eternity. And I just pray we can really view things in the light of the eternal and not in the temporal and really latch on to Christ and in his name I pray. Amen. So let's go to Genesis 41. Joseph was a great leader. And it is true, with great leaders, you know, you don't watch a movie, and I think I mentioned this before, but you know, you don't watch a movie, and it's just all of a sudden, I never liked the superheroes where they just went all of a sudden to the top. They're just all of a sudden the best. And you're like, why are they the best? What made them the best? I mean, what obstacles did they overcome? What kind of character development really happened? They're just, okay, we're just supposed to accept that they're the best. I always liked when there was at least, you know, at least some bad guy or something that was really challenging them, and then they overcame that. And that really showed even more so the power that they wielded. And that's the way I look at Joseph, and he is a great leader, but part of this process, I think, is also him being developed into a good leader. And the same is also true for David. I mean, he spent years, literally years, on the run. It was not a comfortable time, I'm sure. Don't you think that God was doing something within him in those times? And that's the way I look at Joseph. He was a great leader. Let's look at Genesis 41. The story, I don't want to read too much, but the story where we left off kind of last week was that Joseph had been imprisoned and that he actually interpreted a couple dreams for a cupbearer and a baker. And one guy turned out to be good, one guy turned out to be maybe not a good situation. The baker ended up losing his life, and the cupbearer actually ended up going back to being restored to his former position with the Pharaoh. And Joseph told the cupbearer, he said, "Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. I'm not supposed to be here, but I am." Cupbearer, guess what? A couple years goes by, and he had forgotten about him. Pharaoh ends up having a bad dream. A dream that he just couldn't explain, and he wanted an interpretation to. The dream was, well, there were 7 fat cows, and then there were 7 scrawny cows. 7 scrawny cows swallowed up the 7 fat cows, and 7 full and good ears were swallowed by 7 withered up pieces of grain. What was the interpretation? He kept asking. What is the interpretation? The cupbearer says, "Oh, it's been a couple of years, but I remember a guy who could interpret dreams, a young Hebrew." Pharaoh was furious with him. He was mad, and he said, "Why didn't you tell me?" Well, let's get him in here. So this is where Joseph comes in, and he is able to interpret the dream. And he tells Pharaoh, he says, "These 7 fat cows, I mean, if you say something one time, as was brought up this morning, it should be enough, right?" But he had 2 dreams, basically the same thing, side by side, it was solidified and it was going to happen soon. God was communicating something to Pharaoh through these dreams. And so Joseph tells him, he says, "This is going to be 7 good years that are coming to you, but then there are going to be 7 years of famine following right on those heels." So, Joseph says, "Now let Pharaoh," in verse 33 of Genesis 41, we're going to read through 44, verse 44. "Now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in 7 years of abundance. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land, for the 7 years of famine which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine." Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this, in whom is a divine spirit?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. He had him ride in his 2nd chariot, and proclaimed before him, "Bow the knee." And he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh named Joseph. Well, we'll stop there. So, I'm not going to pronounce that name. I don't know about you. Any takers? The bronchitis or whatever I got come back now. So, you know, God is preparing a great leader. And Joseph is the guy. And obviously, we're going to see why soon. Obviously, Joseph had a purpose, and he was raised up for a specific purpose. But, you know, there's an example that was brought to my attention before, and it was this guy. He said, there is a rock, a big rock. And God told this man, hey, go push on the rock. Go push on this rock. And the guy, and he goes and he pushes on the rock every day. Every day he goes and he's just pushing on the rock. It's not moving. keeps pushing every day. And eventually, over a certain period of time, he says, why am I even doing this? The rock's not even moving. This is a waste of my time. And so God tells him, he says, I never told you to move the rock. I just wanted you to push the rock. And he said, now look what happened. What's the byproduct of you doing this? He's like, you're strong and you're resilient and you're strong, basically. And then God moved the rock. You see, that's the way that God forms a character in a lot of people, seems like. We keep pushing, we keep fighting at things, and who's really doing the heavy lifting in our lives? It's God. Be transformed, as Romans would say, by the renewing of what? By the renewing of yourself? You know? No. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Put in the work, little by little, day by day, renewing the mind. Yeah, there's going to be times it's hard. There's going to be times it doesn't seem like it's worth it, but there's a transformation that God can do in our lives. Amen? And we have to believe that. Joseph, a great example of a powerful, really powerful leader. I mean, he is already at a position where he went from, this is a true rags-to-riches story. And there's a principle in this that I really like about Joseph, and that the Joseph principle is that he didn't go around with, you know, vote for Joseph. Hey, vote for Joseph. I mean, he probably had about the same amount of fans that Biden had. I'm not sure. He probably didn't have a whole lot of fans. But God raised them up, didn't he? God raised Joseph up. And it wasn't by Joseph going out and taking it. It was really God who was performing a work. And so with the great leader, there is always this struggle, and there is character that is being built along the way. And so as we look at Joseph, maybe we tell ourselves, I don't have an entire following like he did. Because he did get to a position where he was wearing the signet ring of Pharaoh. Now, that's pretty remarkable. That's a lot of power. Egypt was very powerful. And as we're going to see, maybe, Joseph, all of the world, it says all the earth, literally, all the earth came to Egypt. They were really powerful. They had such an abundance, an overflow of grain. And so Joseph had got to a powerful position. Maybe we tell ourselves, hey, I'm not really that influential. I don't have a following to that capacity. What's really my role in this? I guarantee you somebody's looking at you, though. Somebody sees you. You don't have to look around right now, but somebody's looking up to you. Somebody is. If you're a parent, I guarantee you your kids are looking up to you. If you're an older sibling, I guarantee you somebody's looking at you. Maybe they're not going to follow everything that you do, but they're observing who you are. And Christian, if we're claiming Christ to the world, shouldn't we be a shining representation of Christ? Do you want to be a leader in the sense that you are leading people to Christ? We all partake in this. So let's look at a couple things. Let's go back to Genesis 39. Because with godly leaders, there's a really cool thing that happens, and that's that people flourish under their leadership. In Genesis 39, verses 3 through 5, now his master, this is when Joseph was a slave, now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. He made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. Let's go to 39 verse 23. The chief jailer did not supervise, this is when Joseph is in jail, did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, he made him prosper. Joseph was so reliable that his guys that were over him didn't even look at what he was doing, really. They were so confident that he was competent in his job that they didn't even double check it. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Let's go to 41. Chapter 41, verse 47 through 49. This is him basically at the second place behind Pharaoh. During the 7 years of plenty, the land brought forth abundantly. So he gathered all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt and placed food in the cities. He placed in every city the food from its own surrounding fields. Thus Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he stopped measuring it, for it was beyond measure. Joseph was a very prosperous person. And why was that? The Lord was with him. Is there a spiritual picture in that for us? Absolutely. Absolutely. Joseph actually was, I remember there's this video, I haven't seen it in a while, but it's Patterns of Evidence, the Exodus. And you actually look, and there's a canal to this day in Egypt that is called Joseph's Canal. And it's one of the most lush areas of its area in that area. Joseph's Canal. Seemed like maybe that had something to do with what he had done for them, maybe. Probably. To this day, there is still evidence of him and what he did and the prosper that was affected by that. Joseph is a great historic figure. He's not just some made-up, you know, fairy tale fantasy. Joseph is a real historical figure. You can even look at the science. How many great scientific inventions and discoveries were by religious men, if you will? A lot. A lot of people in science, actually, modern science is not this way as much, because modern science tries to take God out of the picture. You go back and you look at a lot of old scientific Galileo. I mean, you can name, there's so many different names, and I get to see them in the kids' books back there for school. Science was really heavily influenced by people who were God-fearing to an extent. Heavily influenced. Even the printing press, right? In the 1400s, I mean, they wanted to get the Bible printed. They wanted to get things rolling. There were a lot of people that put a lot of work into doing things for God. And we are all just benefactors of it now. The United States, I mean, it had an incredible start. And we're just resting on the laurels in a sense. I mean, the U.S. is going downhill, as pretty much any worldly institution does. But this has been a tremendous country. Amen? I mean, we've had such blessing in this country. We can't even imagine how good it is. I mean, you go to the Philippines, you go to Mexico, you go to, you know that there's over a billion people in China and over a billion people in India, and you got tons of other people all across the world, and they are just living in shambles compared to what we got here. You see, America had a great founding. What was the religious view of a lot of people who founded this country? This country, I hate to break it to you, but was not built on the backs of slaves. The way that people are trying to shift politics nowadays is, I'm talking a little bit of politics. The way people are trying to shift it nowadays is to take really God out of the picture. This was not built about, this country didn't come about because of God. This was because people marginalized other people and they took advantage of them, and it was all wrong. This country is where it is today because at least a few people had some kind of religious, goal-oriented mindset. Christian. Now, maybe they didn't get all the plan of salvation, right? But they were at least God-fearing, right? That's pretty cool. And so the world is trying to take that away. Under godly leadership, people flourish. And America is a great example of that. God was with Joseph. An example that also comes to mind is George Washington. I just have one example that I really like. It was a specific battle. And he was about 23 years old. And he's actually trying to make a delivery, if I'm not mistaken. And the Indian tribes, they were just trying to shoot him down. And they actually got to a point because it was the French and the Indians and the British. And the Indians were just trying to mow these people down. It was a very gruesome sight. This is 1755. And the Indians are just slaughtering a lot of these British people. Well, George Washington, actually, he is riding on his horse through the battle. I think it's for a period of a couple hours. And the Indian tribe, they actually later, they came to a realization that they couldn't kill this guy. He actually had two horses shot out from underneath him. And he had four, musket ball wounds on his coat. It wasn't on his body. He came out unscathed. Two horses shot out from underneath him. Bullet holes in his jacket. And the Indian tribes just basically said, God is with this guy. Now God has been, he's preserved several people throughout all time in history. You can take a look at that and how he has miraculously worked. I mean, even with Abraham and Sarah, God has worked powerfully in many people. But God worked powerfully in George Washington. People were falling down next to him, and he gets off one horse, and he jumps on another one, and he gets off that horse. Don't you think God had a purpose behind some of that, maybe? And that's not to say George Washington was a new creation. The Indian tribes, they get to a point where they say, man, everything we do is futile because this guy, we can't take him down. What do you think Satan and his goons are saying? Everything that we try to do, we try to take down you, the Christian, the Satan says. And everything that we do is just meaningless. And as you're going throughout your life, Christian, there's, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are going down spiritually. But if you are submitting to God, you resist the devil, does he have anything over you? Nothing. Not, you're going to walk away. You might even lose a couple horses. You might have bullet holes in your jacket. But you're not going to be touched. In Christ, we have a tremendous blessings. And I could go on even more on that. But the last point I really just want to make about Joseph, I would encourage you to go back and read the story. It's up through Genesis 50. But the last point I want to make about Joseph, not only was he a great leader and the Lord was with him, but he forgave. Maybe that's why he was a good leader. Maybe that's part of the reason why God really had favor upon him. Is it hard to forgive? I heard a really good message one time on forgiveness, and the message was titled, it was definitely, it got my attention. It said, "Are you holding on to sin?" And I thought about it. I was like, huh, interesting. And then he started talking about forgiveness. Let's go to Genesis 45. Mikhail already got this, but let's do it again. Genesis 45, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. The story goes that Joseph's brothers get to a position where the famine is so bad that they realize they got to go to Egypt. They go to Egypt. They interact with Joseph. Joseph recognizes them immediately. They don't recognize Joseph, though. He disguises himself in different ways, and he's not even speaking in their language. They have an interpreter. But anyways, there's a bunch of stuff. I encourage you to go back and look. But for sake of time, we're going to start in 45. Eventually, Joseph, he kind of is testing him a little bit. He wants him to get his brother Benjamin back. And then he gets to this position where he finally reveals who he is. Genesis 45, verse 1. And Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, "Have everyone go out from me." So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. And along the way, some things that they were saying was, we're getting punished now because of the sins that we committed against Joseph. They were really worried. I'd encourage you to go back look if you haven't seen the story. Joseph said, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" Verse 4, then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land for these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now therefore, it is not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt." We're just going to wrap the story of Joseph up. This is just a two-part message. But he forgave his brothers. And how could he do that? How did he have the ability to forgive them after everything that they did? Okay, somebody turns around and they totally backstab you, and they're your family. They throw you into a pit, and they sell you, and your whole life is now ruined because of it. Oh, wait, then he gets back restored. But how does Joseph forgive his brothers? Because he changed the way that he looked at things, and he said, "It wasn't you guys who put me here, it was God." And this was always his mindset. You can even see this with Potiphar's wife. He said, "How can I sin against God, not against Potiphar, and do an evil thing with you?" Joseph was a man after God's heart. My encouragement just on the close of Joseph is that there's so many examples of patience. There's examples of forgiveness and leadership. Just take these pictures, these beautiful pictures, these historic figures in the scripture and glean as much as you can. Remember, these guys are way greater. He's in Hebrews 11, in case you were wondering. Joseph is a way cooler superhero than Captain America, Superman, Thor, you name it. Joseph is cool. So my encouragement is just get back, look at the Old Testament, look at the storyline, and there's so much to glean from this. You can see Jesus on the pages, every page that you turn. Thank you.